that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
I am Scapegoat.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
I know it's fun. You're like, hey, I found buttons. Yeah. Let's push them to piss me off.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Hi everyone, this is Tom Groves on a box on Twitter. I was just wondering, I saw online today that, no, not Latino Review, but that Spider-Man is actually confirmed for the Marvel movies to cross over from Sony Pictures, and I was curious, not that I didn't hear before, but what your reaction to this is, and where do you think they're going with it? I think, honestly, that they're going to obviously do Civil War, but I'm thinking the storyline in Spider-Man after Civil War with Aunt May dying and all that is probably where they're going with the series that Sony's going to produce for Spider-Man continuing from Marvel Universe. So, what are your thoughts? Thanks.
Hello, gentlemen.
I just realized what quote you just said.
Oh, yes. Well, come
before
on.
Before we started. Was that, you didn't record, right?
What?
I'm the only one with a knife.
That's exactly what I said. I said there's only one blade here, and I'm the one, and I have it, or whatever the hell that shit ass quote was from.
We'll
Gotham
talk about
this
that
week.
Later, right?
Well, sure. I mean, the voicemail at the top of the show indicates that there's probably other things to talk about.
Yeah,
and way more important. Yeah, things definitely.
But before that,
this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's right.
Brought to you by Latino Review.
Your source
for the finest and most accurate information about movies and pop culture.
My opinion is that when they made that speculation, that they didn't actually know anything. That they threw shit at a dartboard.
Oh, no, they knew.
And a little bit later, it's
stuck. They read the Sony emails.
Oh, no,
or
they
knew.
Which
everybody
else
read.
They said it before. They said it before the Sony emails.
Yeah, because this has been in rumors for like a year, literally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just makes sense.
Look, if you're now a fan.
You guys don't believe in the power of Latino Review. That's your problem.
That's right. I think that their 50-50 track record holds up. This just happens to fall on the 50 good side.
It's hysterical. Come on.
It is.
What else are they predicting? We got to, we should get their top five predictions and hop on board.
Hop on board. You start reporting it now. That's fact.
Let's make up the news.
Yeah, let's do that.
Like Gawker. Yeah.
And BuzzFeed and all those other places.
We're breaking this today. Marvel in talk with Fox to reacquire their license.
I hear it went like this. and then hung up.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
No, it went like this. Gosh, you almost had us until that X-Men First Class movie where we came back strong.
That's
it. Enjoy the FF.
Enjoy the FF, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much what
it is. And go fuck yourself.
Right. So this is episode 361.
Yes.
We should say that as an episode number. Indeed. And we are calling it...
Welcome home, Spidey.
Aw. There was a lot of different memes this week with that as the theme.
Yeah.
The bloodied, beaten Spider-Man with Cap holding him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Don't worry, we've got you. All that kind of nonsense.
Cute. It's all true.
Yeah. No, it's not true.
Absolutely
that movie
true.
Did not do that badly.
That movie was supposed to do $1 billion. It barely broke $700 million.
Don't forget that.
Okay. I'm going to repeat those numbers to you. That movie made $700
million. That's correct. That's correct. And as a result...
I understand that the expectations were higher, but it's not like the shit flopped.
And as a result, the woman ahead of Sony Studios stepped down because of that movie.
That is not why she stepped
down. That is exactly why she stepped down. I don't care what you read that she just wanted to be a producer. That's horseshit. She was pressured out.
She stepped down probably because of all the leaks and other nonsense that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't think it has to do with just that movie.
The fact that
by the way, she stepped down and her contract means Sony is going to invest her in her next company. That is a bullshit I want that in my contract.
Yeah, really?
I'm going to quit my company and they're going to give me all the money I want to start my next company. That's what she's doing. She's not quitting Sony.
Yeah, not really.
She's being backed by Sony to start her own subsidiary of Sony. It's bullshit. Anyway.
Don't forget, though.
Good luck in your future endeavors.
The Spider-Man movies have consistently made less and less.
Oh, yeah.
With each movie that has come out.
Right.
Overall,
the second one.
Despite the fact that they do good in the box office, but don't hit expectations, overall, that franchise is not considered a success.
Not at all.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Do you consider it a success?
What does that mean? It doesn't matter what I think.
Well, that
successful in what way? Financially,
sir. If I may, this is a show about opinions.
No, but I'm asking you. I'm not saying I'm shirking the responsibility of having an opinion. I'm saying, what do you mean successfully financially? It's absolutely successfully financially. Otherwise, they would not keep making more of them. Are they living up to expectations? Absolutely not. But I also don't understand why everyone thinks Spider-Man should be making billions of dollars.
Because he's the biggest Marvel character in the history of Marvel characters.
Until now.
And should easily carry a successful franchise.
Until now.
No, I don't mean movies. I mean Spider-Man is the Marvel character.
Well-known. Right, and I'm saying no one cares anymore. I don't think he is a huge deal in the Marvel universe and in the comic universe,
sure,
and will be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe
now,
and is a big deal, right? And it still is a big deal for. I'm 100% understanding that, but I'm saying he's not like the only name people know now. The Marvel Cinematic Universe and what has happened since Iron Man and everything after,
right,
makes him less important on his own,
but
than he was before. So yes, people are bought into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which I think contributes to people not giving a shit about Spider-Man.
But I have a counter to you, what you just said.
Okay.
That is all based on the fact that that film franchise continues to fail. He should still be as big as Iron Man and the Avengers.
I'm saying that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is executing so well and making those other names so big,
right,
that Spider-Man does not hold his own
because it's a failure.
They keep making not great movies about
it. All right, let's move forward. We're clearly arguing in circles.
Let's go back around in that circle one more time. Look, kids, Big Ben, Parliament.
Yeah, exactly. So clearly what we're talking about is that Sony and Marvel/Disney has struck some deal.
Marvel Studios, sir.
Right. Has struck some deal where really both parties make out very well.
Oh, yeah.
And Spider-Man comes to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yep. Except they still may make Sinister Six.
And Venom, I'm hearing.
Oh, it's paused.
Yes,
well, but they are allowed to make them.
That's
outside
correct.
Outside the continuity of
that
the
is
Marvel
correct.
Cinematic Universe.
Which they won't do.
Is it outside the continuity of the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I believe so. Because if Sony were making it, it would not be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
However, that said, it has been put on hold.
Right, because they're smart.
I thought Kevin Feige was still...
It's Feige, sir.
I don't think it is.
Feige.
He was going to act as kind of like a consultant in future Spider-Man projects, even for Sony. I thought that this relationship was very much intertwined.
I did not read that. I read that Marvel is pretty much going to take over Spider-Man, the character, and it will be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Except that Sony can continue to make Spider-Man movies.
If Sony wants to make spin-offs.
Co-produced by Marvel Studios.
And if Sony wants to make their own spin-off stuff, they can, but it won't be part of the Marvel. This is how I read it. I could be wrong. Someone can show me a press release right now.
There's a lot of gray area, I think, here. But
I don't imagine.
Why would they make a Sinister Six movie unless they're not going to have Spider-Man in it? Because if they put Spider-Man in it, I think it has to go, unless they're going to do a different Spider-Man.
The Sinister Six movie was initially conceived without Spider-Man being in it.
Right, but correct. It's also based on the end of Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Right, but they could work around that.
retcon.
Well, would they keep those actors? Well, no, they recast and start
no,
over.
No, because they're no. If Andrew Garfield retcon. Is out, everybody is out.
Well, then yeah. Why the fuck would you even make the movie at all?
That's
well,
the whole point,
right? So I don't see Sony investing in those projects.
That's the point of putting it on hold. I think is to rather than just say we got it, we're killing everything. They're yeah. just letting it slowly die. On
I
the
think
vine.
What yeah. you'll see is you'll see the new Spider-Man franchise. Under the Sony banner in 2017 mm-hmm. or whatever it is that they announced it, and if that is successful, then you may see something else come from it. You may see something else,
but
come
that's from a it. Big may.
I agree.
I think there's going to be enough Spider-Man in the other MCU movies at this point.
Well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Civil we War. Don't. We know that.
Well,
he's
let's talk about that. We brought up the shuffle, so why don't we talk about that first?
Okay, sure.
Which is Spider-Man. Now co-produced by Marvel, gets its shot in 2017.
Correct.
In Thor 3's original spot.
Correct. So Thor gets pushed back
Thor
a couple
gets
months.
Pushed to November.
So does Black Panther.
Black Panther gets pushed back. Also gets by a year.
By almost a year, yeah. yeah. So that's the biggest push.
Doesn't Inhumans also get pushed?
To 2019,
that's
yeah.
correct.
There were five films, I think, overall now, that had their schedule adjusted. As
some people were talking about how this was fallout as a result. To be honest with you, I think that Marvel was being a bit ballsy throwing out any dates that far in advance anyway. And the likelihood that we would have seen some shift in those dates, I think it was pretty good.
Who cares? It's for Spider-Man that they now have back.
Oh, of course. Of course. So, it's not a bad reason.
No. What we are worried about. Oh, wait. I guess we should talk about where Spider-Man is going to fit in before we say why I'm upset that the Black Panther.
So what is it? He gets one full movie, one full appearance in a Marvel universe, but something before that, right?
So no. So the speculation, right. And this is all speculation at this point, except for the fact that he's going to be in Captain America 3.
So it's wild speculation. So you're saying Latina
no,
Review
that,
is
they've
report-
said that.
No, I'm saying Latina Review yeah. reporting it as fact.
Yes.
No, yeah, everybody is reporting this piece as fact, okay. Which is his first appearance in the MCU will be in Captain America 3. Now, what we don't know is to what degree will he appear in that movie?
Right.
Because the speculation before this Spider-Man nonsense was that was going to be a very heavy Black Panther appearance also.
Right.
But considering now that they've pushed that movie, I'm wondering if they are doing some rewriting to have Spider-Man be the kind of heavy number two in that rather than, or not, I guess number three, if Iron Man's going to be in it, but be the heavy or be a larger appearance in Cap 3.
Right.
And push Black Panther down the road, so to speak.
Which would kind of suck.
It would, but it would make the most sense.
As far as Civil War goes, it makes the most sense to highlight Spidey as much as you possibly can. I mean, considering at least in the books, involved. Even though we know that it's not a direct take off the books, he's the linchpin. I mean, he's like the biggest, he's the biggest reveal in that storyline. That
well,
was
he starts
epic.
It, right? I mean, he's
he
like
doesn't
first,
start it, but
he makes
his,
it a big deal. He's
but
the
his
right, big...
but his registering and unmasking himself was probably the biggest
mistake Marvel ever made.
Yeah, well, that too.
So do we think? So they're definitely recasting.
Yes.
Spidey.
Now there's
and it's
two...
definitely going to be an older person.
No.
You don't think so?
No. Now they're saying that they could skew younger, which makes no sense to me
Why
whatsoever.
Would they do that?
Why it makes no that? Sense to me whatsoever. I think what they would do is skew older and do a retcon in the opening credits like they did the Edward Norton Hulk.
Yeah, that's what I agree.
No, I read they're
about
looking
younger.
For high schooler.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, why? That's unconfirmed. So,
but why? They shouldn't. They
no,
shouldn't.
It makes sense.
He
it
has
does
no political.
Not make
yeah,
sense.
No. Okay, he reveals his identity, and everyone goes, "Who the fuck is Peter Parker?"
You know what? I'm wondering if they're having a. I'm wondering if it's an issue of. I'm wondering if it's an issue of if they skew older, if they're concerned that people are going to be like, "Well, where has he been all this time? No. Where was he at the Battle of New York?
Not
that kind of
not
you know?
40."
No, I understand.
And they
that.
Could retcon that easily in the Spider-Man
movie. He's swinging
movie.
In the background.
Of course.
In the Spider-Man movie, they could have him at another part of town, the opposite side of the Avengers, doing some little shit, not revealing himself. I mean, they could easily do it.
Or they could make it Miles Morales.
No way.
Well, let's go there.
Since let's go there. No fucking way.
No fucking way.
Agreed. I just...
I have no... I have so many different opinions on this scenario. In no logical business sense does it make was Miles Morales the right choice?
No, I agree.
You don't get Spider-Man back and then use fake Spider-Man. That's right. I said it as your Spider-Man.
I agree.
You don't do it.
Yeah.
You don't put not Peter Parker in Civil War. Not to mention that, how do you not put Peter Parker toe to toe with Tony Stark?
Yeah.
As far as on-screen chemistry goes, they got to find someone strong.
That's why I don't think they can go younger.
I don't think they're going to do a random fucking high schooler.
I don't know. Again, that part is still speculation. God only knows. They haven't cast anybody new yet. We don't know where that's going to go. And then as far as the whole Miles Morales thing, no, it's not racist. My opinion is there are some characters.
You know when you start.
Yeah, I understand that. But there are some characters that I feel are so iconic that you should not change them that much. And if you are, then they're not the same character. Miles Morales is not Spider-Man. He's a plot device for Ultimate Spider-Man.
Correct.
Okay? Just the same way that Gwen Stacy is not Spider-Man, the same way that Doc Ock was not Spider-Man, Bruce Banner is not Spider-Man, that pig is not Spider-Man. Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Anybody else that puts on the costume is not Spider-Man.
Peter Parker, sir?
Yeah, that's it.
Where is he?
Put him out? I think he's up there. Did I put him out? I thought I put him out.
Maybe he didn't get to it.
So, and then of course everybody, well, you know, of course it should be progressive and you should cast a black guy as Peter Parker. I guess, but if you're going to do that, why are you doing it? Are you really doing it because you found a great actor? Maybe if you find someone that's really convincing. But I think 9 times out of 10 it ends up happening is because people feel like it's this progressive PC decision. And I'm sorry, but some characters are so iconic, you should not change them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah,
totally.
I mean, what?
If we're going to do that, why don't we make Black Panther white?
Okay, so I said that once, and someone said, well, he's from Africa. Clearly, that's a black character. And
oh,
I was
clearly.
Like, okay, you know
no what? White people are from Africa.
All right, so let's make Luke Cage white.
Yeah.
Let's make Bruce Wayne black. How come no one ever says, how come you didn't cast a black guy for Batman or Superman? No one ever, you never hear that argument. It's always fucking Spider-Man. Leave Peter Parker alone.
Well, because he's a young high school kid, and it reaches a younger audience, probably. It's a bigger deal. People are already okay with Bruce Wayne being played by 9 other white guys, so they assume they're going to cast a white guy.
I think some characters, I'll say it again, I think some characters are so iconic they should not be altered, and any attempt to alter them is not the original character. That's my opinion. And,
yeah, well.
And again, if Peter Parker was originally a black guy, I'd be totally down with it. I would be uncomfortable with them casting a white guy as Luke Cage.
Let's also talk about the fact.
So we'll flip the coin. I would be uncomfortable with that.
Let's also talk about the fact that the destruction and rebuilding of the Marvel Universe is very likely to get rid of most of those characters anyway.
With the exception of Miles Morales, which they say is
staying.
They say that he's going to come over. Oh, and by the way.
As Spider-Man?
Well, no. He'll be another version of Spider-Man.
Crimson Spider-Man?
Maybe they'll give him another name. You know, he doesn't have the same abilities as Spider-Man either. He's got an ability that Spider-Man doesn't have. I'm not calling him Spider-Man. I refuse. He's got an ability that Spider-Man doesn't have. He's not as strong as Spider-Man. He doesn't know how to create the web fluid. He had to get it from fucking S.H.I.E.L.D. Cheap-ass bitch. So, he's not fucking Spider-Man. Wow. He's not Spider-Man.
Do you not like Miles Morales?
Actually, I think he's a really interesting character.
Uh-huh.
But he's not Spider-Man. The same way that I will never, ever accept Flash Thompson as Venom.
Right.
He is not Venom. Eddie Brock is Venom. Anybody else is some dude in a symbiote. That's it.
Some dude.
That's it. He's not. Don't call him Agent Venom. He's not Venom.
Agent Venom. Member of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that's over.
It's. Anyway.
You little.
Because I've been arguing this now for like 2.5 days with people, and I just feel beat up for it. I'm on the defensive.
You got to stop, because you got to save those arguments for this program.
People poke at me. I don't even bring it up necessarily. People poke at me with it.
You guys know not to poke OG with race stuff.
It has nothing to do with race.
Okay, nothing to do with race. Right.
It doesn't. It has to do with
sure.
The character is as the character is iconic for a certain reason.
Okay, no problem.
Just saying.
It's like if they moved Daredevil to San Francisco.
You shut the fuck up.
There you go. So, Is there anything else to talk about in the Spider-Man story? I'm sure we're missing. I feel like we're missing.
Are I don't think so. No, we talked about the schedule. New, right? We talked about where they're, where you think we're going with casting. Where is he moving forward? Who knows?
Who knows?
So it's just we've covered everything that we know now, right, at this point.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's everything that we have at this point. A note not about Spider-Man, OG and not OG, sorry, Scapegoat and I,
yes,
saw Jupiter ascending this morning.
How was that? Was that a big steaming pile of...
No, I didn't think it was that big.
Oh, all right.
I think you'd probably like it, actually.
I mean, I'll probably see it at some point, but...
It was definitely a movie that will do... That you will appreciate more in, not that you will go, but that you would appreciate more in a theater.
Right.
It's because it's a spectacle. Sure. Right? Am I right about that?
It is a spectacle.
We saw it in IMAX 3D. Now, come on, be honest. The visuals were really spectacular.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay, but your double entendre response there.
There's no double entendre here. Okay. I think I enjoyed the design elements and the visual prowess of the movie.
He just didn't like the story, and I get that, and that's fine.
Was it disjointed? Was it like a hot mess as far as
I didn't think so.
Okay. I disagree. I think there were the least amount of scenes possible to make the movie happen. Meaning there is no character development. There's no reason to care about anything that's happening.
Okay.
There's like, oh fuck, we forgot to do another chase scene. Let's put that here. Like it is either, in my opinion, and I don't know, there is either a fantastic 4-hour cut of this movie that the Wachowskis made that they had to cut down, or they did that all in the script and they were like, how do we get as many chase scenes in here as possible?
Right.
And the reason I say that is their next project is a Netflix series.
Uh-huh. Is it called The Chase?
No, is a Netflix series, and the head of Netflix recently said the Wachowskis came out and they're like, after Jupiter Ascending failed, we're probably not getting big budgets anymore. So it was nice while it lasted.
Yeah.
So the head of Netflix was like, we're happy with their new home here because we think they're going to have a chance to tell the more complicated stories that they want to tell in a series format will be better than movies. And I've recently seen a 4-hour cut of Cloud Atlas that would blow your mind. And Cloud Atlas was their last convoluted, ridiculous story.
You've seen it? Or the head of Netflix
has seen the 4-hour cut of Cloud Atlas.
I'd love to see a 4-hour cut
that he says is amazing. Atlas. Right. So what I'm saying is there is a possibility that there is a better version of this story that I did not watch. But what I watched was it looked like someone had to edit out everything in the movie except...
Like, so they went for chasing, a lot of flash.
Okay, a little bit of denouement. Like it's just not well plotted or thought out. And I would really like to see instead, I wish this were a video game. It has the cool amount of vehicles
MMO.
And guns, and I think it'd be a really cool MMO. You can align yourself with a different faction. Like, it's designed well enough that I was like, I would want to play in this world that they've created, but I didn't want to watch it for 2 hours.
All right.
That's how I felt about it.
Did you have anything to add, or might I move forward? Nope. Well, since you brought up Netflix then.
Sure.
Netflix announced last week that they were in early talks to develop a...
White Luke Cage show.
Yes. Live action Legend of Zelda series for Netflix. I would be really okay with that, I think. And it made me think, how come Nintendo hasn't tried to do this more? Because I know they're very protective of a lot of their properties.
Yeah.
But I think it would work well.
I don't know. I'm afraid.
Yeah. I'm okay if they go a little soft with it.
But why?
Like soft core?
Because I think, games have enough, there's enough story there that you don't have to go dark or you don't have to go too far adult. And I think like they could go as dark as, I mean, they can go as dark as primetime television.
Well, I'm not saying I want to see it go super dark and serious.
Right, no, I understand that.
But, like, complicated storytelling, you know, what's nice about the Netflix format that it's been, you can binge them and all that stuff. If they're going to go, like, we want to make 30-minute animated episode, I know it said live action.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, if we want to make it 30-minute family-friendly, like, I'm worried almost in who is having the creative control in this.
Right. Well, it's
situation.
It's all very early.
So if you look at any of the, you know, all the major sites, blogs, et cetera, that are like, here's our, you know, dream cast. They're casting it as if it's going to be Game of Thrones in the Zelda universe.
Right.
And no one's, that's not what Nintendo is going to let happen. So what are we going to get? I'm not saying it's not going to be a good show. I'm just saying everyone's expectations when you talk about it are, I'm an older person reminiscing about Zelda, and I would want to see it as if I were the adult. That's great. They're probably not making it for you.
Right. If they make it at all.
You're not the target audience. Sure. So what are you really going to get?
Sure.
And maybe they are the target audience.
And maybe it will be good enough that it appeals to everyone, et cetera. You know, like Rebels and a lot of other shows are able to do. But I don't know. So there may be a reason why Nintendo hasn't done a lot of this, and this is a good attempt. We'll see. I'm just not. I'm tempering my expectations.
I would like to see, this is just in the wishes, wants, and kind of category. But I would like to see if Netflix was going to develop a series, or even do a movie based on a Nintendo property. I would love to see like a horror space Metroid.
Oh yeah, we talked
film. Yeah. Because it would, first of all, the first game is kind of spooky by itself. It's clearly not Zelda, right? Mother Brain, clearly not friendly.
Mm-hmm. No.
But I think that could be really interesting.
That would be cool.
Metroid is a good property, I think, that would either support a film franchise or a serialized storytelling franchise.
That'd be pretty cool.
Speaking about space horror films, did you see the thing with Neil Blomkamp and Alien? You know, he wrote a treatment I could direct.
Yeah.
And so he was, I guess, recently doing press for Chappie.
Uh-huh.
And it came back up again. And, you know, he was very coy about it. He was like, I heard that I kind of caught Fox off guard. That wasn't my intent. You know, but if Fox wanted to do something. And then Sigourney Weaver was like, you know, and if Neil did it, I would be interested. So everybody's like,
oh, really?
Yeah. So everybody's like, is this the.
Beginning? She's in. Chappie.
Yeah. She is in Chappie. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what she was.
We saw a new trailer for Chappie today.
How did that look?
Good.
Yeah,
good.
I really think it looks good. I like him. What did he do after District 9? What was his
You don't want to know. Elysium.
Oh, Elysium.
Elysium,
right.
Whatever.
Elysium.
Also known as Halo.
Oh, right.
Well, it had nothing to do with Halo, but there was a big Halo in it.
Not at all. While we're talking about horror and TV shows, Stars, actually, totally I got this like
go
10 minutes before you guys got here. We could talk about
I just got it while you I just read it to him in our break that we didn't actually have because you don't perceive breaks.
That's right.
Out in the audience.
Stars has cast two characters for its Ash vs. the Evil Dead series set to come out sometime in late 2015. The two actors are Ray Santiago playing the role of Pablo Simon Bolivar and Dana DiLorenzo playing Kelly Maxwell. Pablo Simon Bolivar is an idealistic immigrant who becomes Ash's loyal sidekick, a Sancho Panza to Ash's Don Quixote. Uh-huh. It was kind of interesting. Pablo believes in Ash's heroism, even if Ash himself doesn't. Kelly Maxwell is a moody wild child trying to outrun her past, reluctantly dragged into the fight against evil with Ash and Pablo. Kelly finds a different kind of family with her fellow Deadite Slayers.
Ooh, they're calling them Slayers, are they?
Yeah. So, Slayers with a lowercase s, not a capital S.
Oh, I see. For now.
I'm okay with that, I guess. I mean, that story kind of makes sense. You can't have Ash by himself. He's getting a little long in the tooth, so...
Little sidekick.
Yeah, he needs a little group. He needs a group. And that whole, even though he doesn't believe in himself, I think that's a little bit telling about the angle that they're going to go.
Right.
It's going to be My Name is Bruce. I think it's going to be My Name is Ash.
There you go.
That's funny.
But look, I Sam Raimi is tied, of course, to the pilot episode.
He's directing
as far
pilot.
As directing it, mm-hmm. And then I think we'll have some producer credits for the rest of the series. I'm okay with the series. I'm okay with Stars. I think Stars puts out some good shows.
Sure.
So we'll see where that goes.
Indeed.
Is there anything else? I feel like we're missing something else. I mean, I know I we have stuff for segment two, but are we missing anything big for segment one?
I don't think so.
No.
It's just shows of the week and stuff. Yeah.
Well, we could quickly talk about shows of the week.
Well, none of us have seen Agent Carter except...
Yes, I've seen
Agent Carter. Statistically speaking.
Statistically. It's good. Watch it.
So the last one that I saw, which is obviously two
the
back
Russian,
now. The Russian?
Oh, two back now?
No, one back. I saw the Russian episode one. With the Howling Commandos.
Yeah, yeah. That's the last one.
Yo, she's fucked up. The Russian? Maggie, whatever the hell her name is. That, uh-huh. I mean, I knew she was messed up, but that last bit with the handcuffs, I was like, no, that ain't right. There's something
that's
seriously wrong right there.
Is that what they Channel 7, right? Isn't that family-friendly ABC that show is on?
I was like, I say it again. I love the guy that plays Dum Dum Dugan.
Yeah,
of course. He is great in that role.
Uh-huh.
And I really hope that the show gets picked up for a second season. Yeah, it has not been confirmed.
As of yet. There's all kind of petitions and stuff out there. Speaking of petitions, it looks more and more likely that Constantine is going to jump to sci-fi.
That does look like a very possible scenario, and I am okay with that.
Yep, I agree.
They want to rebrand it as Hellblazer. I'm okay with that, too. Sci-fi's demands are obviously a little bit less as far as ratings-wise.
Right.
You have a little bit more creative freedom. Although I think NBC is being ballsy with every episode they put out.
And they're owned by NBC. So it's kind of an easy transition.
Yeah. And look, sci-fi needs some programming, some original programming.
Some science fiction programming.
Well, and it's gotten rid of a lot of shows in the last couple of years. A lot of shit has gotten canceled. And there hasn't been a lot of new stuff coming into.
Isn't American Ninja Challenge on that?
No, that's on. Isn't that on Spike?
Is that on Spike? I thought it was on sci-fi.
It might be on sci-fi. I'm not even sure.
Is wrestling on sci-fi? Something ridiculous is on sci-fi that you're like, why the fuck is this here?
No, sci-fi now has become the Food Network of science fiction. It's like the makeup show, and it's the cosplay show.
Right, and then the worst movies you've ever heard of. Sharknado 2.
Sharknado 3 is coming.
Yeah, of course it is.
They did have Ascension, though, which was pretty good.
I still haven't seen the third part of Ascension. I watched the first two and have not committed to the third one. Oh, my God. New shows, not on sci-fi, but I checked it out. Man Seeking Woman. Have either of you seen this? Have you watched it yet?
No,
I know I briefly mentioned it to you the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the most bizarre, fucked up Jay Baruchel since This Is the End role I've seen. It's so weird.
What's it called?
Man Seeking Woman. It's on FXX. The premise of the show is Jay Baruchel's character breaks up with his longtime girlfriend in the first episode. And so now it's just about him trying to obviously find love, right? But like in the first episode, you know, his sister tries to set him up on a blind date.
Yeah.
And she sets him up with a troll. So you're like, oh, a troll. Like, it's probably like just some ugly chick. No, it's a fucking troll in a dress. Like, it's ridiculous. And then the second episode, like, all of his ex-girlfriend's shit comes to life in his apartment and is attacking him. There's a pillow that she gave him that face fucks him at one point in the episode. They have to call in a priest to exorcise the apartment. It's so bizarre, but it's so good. It's really funny. Wow.
FXX.
Yeah, FXX is also the FX spinoff, the Simpsons Network. Yeah, it's the one that did that.
Oh, like, the
2 week long Simpsons marathon where they showed every episode consecutively.
I don't.
Eric Andre is the other guy on the show who I happen to like too. I think he's really funny.
I don't know if I have that. Isn't FXX the station that brought you the Wheel of Time?
Yes.
Pilot
in the middle
recently?
Of the night without any without anything.
Yeah.
And pretty much the deal behind that is it's been in development for a while. They were about to lose the rights, so they threw it out there. Now I haven't watched it yet. It is online.
I heard it's wretched.
It looked wretched. It looked like it was filmed
looks
in
like
the
it's
70s.
The 1980s.
Yeah, right, or the 80s. Really, like, it was bad. Terrible. I was like, oh, and I love the Wheel of Time. That's such a could be such a good story. FXX. But seriously, check out Man Seeking Woman. I think only the first four episodes are out so far, and they're half hour each, so it's 20 minutes without commercials. It's an easy catch up.
I wonder if I have FXX. I'll have to look
as part of your complimentary.
Yeah,
package.
But definitely
it's
a
complimentary
show.
Nothing.
Yeah, no such thing.
It's complimentary for only $19.99 a month.
We're not gonna mention Gotham this week.
We
could briefly mention Gotham this week.
It sucked.
Fish Mooney continues to stink. Nygma is
no pun intended.
Yeah, Nygma is a really big dick.
Yeah.
In this week's episode, and I kind of like it. He's such a dick to Penguin in that one scene. I was like, oh, it's kind of funny.
The meeting was kind of funny.
Yeah, but I think that was the only redeeming part. I take back everything I said about what I liked about Scarecrow.
I like your tweet that Gordon and Bullock shoot like stormtroopers, and then moments later, blind stormtroopers.
Yeah. Well, because there's one scene, they're literally, well, you saw the episode, what are they, 100 feet, not even, from Crane, right? And the two, and he's not hiding behind anything. They're hiding behind trees. He's out in the open. They empty their clips and hit him once.
Yeah, like, no, it makes no sense.
It was terrible. So bad. It's so bad.
That show.
But there you go. Gotham. Constantine wraps up this week.
Oh,
Flash
no,
was
it?
Really good this week.
Wait, Constantine's over?
Yeah, this Friday's the last episode, unless it gets picked up.
I hope it does.
Flash was really good. Some big shit happened in this week's episode. Firestorm made his first kind of appearance, or his first full appearance, I guess.
Yeah.
Learn a lot about the character.
Indeed.
And then next week's episode, if you haven't seen the preview, is I think it's a time travel-y episode in general. So that'll tie very nicely into this week's episode.
Maybe we'll see Booster Gold.
Tonight is the return of Katie Lotz as Canary on Arrow.
What? How does that make?
Have you not seen the promo?
Nope.
I'll tell you, it's the return of Count Vertigo as the main villain in this week's episode.
Do I really want to watch this now?
Yeah, of course you do. Okay. Count Vertigo.
Again?
Count Vertigo. He's not dead yet. He's okay to come back.
I think it's a device to
finish out Laurel's arc into becoming Black Canary.
Yeah.
So Vertigo poisons Canary, Black Canary.
Yeah.
She sees Sarah as Canary.
Yeah.
They duke it out. And I'm sure by the end, it will complete her full transition into the character. I think that's why they did it. I'm okay with that.
All right.
I'm okay with that. It wraps up her story. I think the episode is called Canaries. I mean, it's, you know, it wraps up her story, or it moves her story forward to the next step.
Will the Huntress make an appearance?
No, I don't believe so. I think that's it now for segment one. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, alrighty, with that. Then.
Yes, OG, we will take our first break on this exciting episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 361, Welcome Home, Spidey.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask is now available for the Nintendo 3DS. One of the lesser Legend of Zelda games, and the absolute strangest in the series, is now receiving the remaster treatment, just like Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. It was originally released on the Nintendo 64 on the same day as the PlayStation 2, so I've actually never played this game. But if you have rose-colored glasses about how amazing the N64 was, Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask is now available for the Nintendo 3DS. From the developers of Left 4 Dead comes the often-delayed Turtle Rock Studios game, Evolve. A 4-versus-1 online game where four players hunt down a gigantic monster whom is controlled by a fifth player. And while it's a nice pony, it is a one-trick pony, hunting a monster or being a monster over and over again. And don't expect a campaign. This is much like the Titanfall model of an online multiplayer-only game. But then again, Left 4 Dead had the same online multiplayer-only game model, and it did more than okay. So what the hell does anyone know? Evolve is out now for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC for $60. And finally, some less cynical news, in fact some downright exciting news. Bethesda, the company behind the Elder Scrolls series and Fallout, will have their own show at this year's E3. Normally you would have Microsoft, Sony, EA, Ubisoft, and a desperate fart from Konami. But this year, Bethesda is stepping up from simply being included in another company's press conference, which can only mean one thing, Fallout 4. Hopefully. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
Hey guys, what's going on? Just a quick question about the cons and stuff like that. I'm a little backed up in the episodes. You're talking about Artist Alley. I'm just wondering, how does that work with trademark, copyright stuff that these independent guys actually selling copyrighted or trademarked characters and stuff like that? Marvel, DC, all these people, they don't have their lawyers on that. I just don't understand how people can sell merchandise of trademarked characters and all that stuff. So if you can just let me know how that works, or if it's just something that's always been done and nobody really gives a shit, I guess. But I just find it weird that independent people can just sell Spider-Man stuff or Groot stuff, or just, you know what I mean? It just makes no sense. So if you guys could just delve into that a little bit, that'd be awesome. Awesome. Thank you very much. Show rocks. Hey, just a little side note, a little addition to the message about the cons and the in Artist Alley. WWE just won a court ruling that states they can actually seize merchandise that's infringing on their copyrights and trademarks. So I was just wondering if there's any talk about that at the cons or anything. But Yeah, WWE just got a ruling that they can physically, so imagine Triple H just going down some slap outside, hawking some Cena stuff and just grabbing the shit and taking it. But yeah, I mean, it's court ruling, so I just wanted to add that also. Thanks, bye.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 361. Welcome home, Spidey.
Aw.
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 I hope it's not disappointing. I'm so scared.
I'm not, though, because I really think that certainly his appearances in the Marvel movies will be terrific.
Yeah, just that whole Sony has final creative control thing is what scares me.
I think that just means Sony gets to go, yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. Of course we're going to agree with everything he said.
Yeah, it's the same way that George Lucas has creative input into Star Wars.
Okay, fair enough.
So, George, we're thinking about doing this. Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. Yeah, thanks, George. We're going to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, we're gonna still do that. So yes, we are back and we have a voicemail, which you heard there during the break. We also had a game stuff this week.
Oh,
so thank you, Coke Logic, for that. Of course,
a super game stuff.
No, super game stuff is when he does the really long. This is just a regular game stuff. But yes, we did have a voicemail and you kind of answered your question.
Kind of,
yourself. And the answer
I don't think he knows that that's
right.
The answer.
The answer is they just kind of don't police it.
Right.
Is really what it is.
Right.
Could they? Yes.
Absolutely. They could walk down and just like WWE, I'm betting they could walk down and seize any of that property that they wanted to.
Right.
I see what you did there.
And, I was researching this a little bit after I got the voicemail and apparently at some of the, bigger anime conventions, they now limit artists in Artist Alley. So if they'll tell you that only 30% of something like only 30% of the prints that you bring can be of licensed characters, or you can do a specific limited edition print of a license, like 10 and no more than 10 for the entire run of the con. So I guess, I don't know if that's their way of trying to not only kind of push creativity, which good on them, because that kind of talks about the thing that we talked about with the billion Groots.
Sure.
But it also kind of probably protects their ass a little bit.
Let's give a really great example. The guy that does those Star Wars posters out of here. Right. And who did the Bombshell posters for DC.
Right.
He was selling all of those things at cons for years. Those type of designs,
correct.
For years with these characters. He's selling Star Wars merchandise. It is what it is. Yep. You can call it whatever you want, but that's, in point of fact, that's what it is.
Sure.
And it's recognizable logos and characters from Star Wars, yet he has continued to sell them. However, having been successful and having gained that bit of a following on those and other bits of his work, DC sought him out to do these prints for them, which they mass market sold.
Right.
They mass market produced statues from. By the way, the Hawk Girl came out this week. That's another one that I would be seriously considering getting. I still want the Star Girl one. I think that's the best. Anyway, the point being is that I really think, like the WWE, I think that they have the right to go down and seize from Artist Alley anything. I just think that they don't do it.
Yeah, I think that part
of
it is
commercial. It's not commercially available.
Right. I also think part of it is I think they think that there would be a backlash.
Yes.
Against them.
Well, isn't the hope also from those people that they get hired?
Of course.
So if it's a proving ground and they need that on their resume that they can draw the characters that they want to draw.
Of course.
I think it would be pretty bad if they went into their essentially resume pile and was like, you're all fucking arrested. Like, it's probably not going to look good.
I think the fine line comes where I said, but with being at a trade show type situation versus commercially.
Right.
And so if they set up a website where they were selling all of these things and so on and so forth on a regular basis, that I'm imagining some cease and desists have been sent based on that.
That's the perfect example, because a lot of these guys, you'll ask them, hey, look, I don't have enough for this print. Do you sell it online? And they're like, no, I only sell it at cons.
Correct.
Right. Because I think I think that's kind of their bit of protection. You know, they're putting it out there, but they're not putting it all the way out there.
Right.
Yep.
Right. And I think, for example, I think Lucas, and Disney, I think they're much more concerned about, they're less concerned about someone selling a Spider-Man print than they are with someone like bootlegging Star Wars toys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that's probably a bigger concern of theirs. And I think, huge industry. I know. And I think it's luck. You know, I think a lot of it is luck.
It has been a huge industry since the 70s.
Right.
When that company, I can't remember. It's called Uze, I think. It's U-Z-A-Y, bootleg Star Wars figures in Europe. I want to say it was like Poland or somewhere over there. And these things are some of the most sought after Star Wars collectibles on the planet.
Right.
It was 80. I think it was after Empire, I think they started doing that.
And then I also think that there's some guys that get away with selling the stuff because I actually have the rights to the image. So, for example, Campbell, right? J. Scott Campbell. I have a couple prints hanging here in the studio. He's drawn all of those things for Marvel, and I'm sure somewhere in his contract he was like, I'm going to sell prints of this shit, and you're going to be okay with it. Yeah. And Marvel's like, yeah, that's fine. But, you know, it's not worth them
right.
arguing over to get him. Like the Nightcrawler print I have, that's an N. McGinnis print. He drew, that was a cover, I think, of one of the issues he did for Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
So
it is.
You know, yeah. I'm sure Marvel's not chasing him down, giving him guff.
Right.
I'm sure he probably owns the rights to that image. So,
or at least the distribute, like the ability to reproduce.
To reproduce it or whatever. So right. I'm sure with a it's lot of like those guys, for example, Chris Uminga, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I love that dude's work. He doesn't do a lot of commercial stuff, but no one comes after him for doing Harry Potter or
absolutely. But let's talk about that. So here's where the divide. Let's take Chris Uminga as another example. Chris has been doing all these characters, all these commercial characters for years and years,
right?
For as long as we've seen him at conventions, sure. and we all love his work. However, Graffiti Designs is putting out shirts of his work.
Right. So
Graffiti Designs must have secured, and his DC characters, because that's what Graffiti does.
Must have secured some sort of rights.
Must have secured a license from both Chris for his artwork and from DC for their characters in order to make those t-shirts.
Right. But I think the bulk of it is they just choose not to. They understand that is the nature of this industry.
Absolutely.
And it's not worth fighting.
They don't want to be dicks.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is perception.
Was there a DC thing we had to talk about?
DC canceling a bunch of books and another soft reboot.
Secret War. Oh, I'm sorry. That's different.
I don't understand why they're... I mean...
I do.
I get that you want to cancel a bunch of books that aren't doing well.
They don't want to be left behind by Secret War.
I don't think that's what it is.
So they're doing a reboot... Or rather, having a bunch of number one titles show up right around the time another company has a bunch of one titles show up.
So, let's see. DC Comics will 24 brand new series that will begin at issue number one, as well as 25 ongoing best-selling fan favorite series.
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh.
I pushed it first.
Sorry.
I sort of have this at this point. Kind of. A little bit. So, I guess they want to just, it's just the issue ones, I think, is it's not really a reboot.
Yeah. It's really time to come out around the time that Superman versus Batman hits the theater. And what they're hoping is that people are going to go out of that movie and go, I want to go read comics and run off to their store. And they'll have a bunch of number ones, a bunch of easy jumping on points for a bunch of different books so that people can read them. That's all this is.
But unlike New 52 and much like Marvel Now, I don't think they're rebooting the characters when they reboot the books.
No.
So there's going to be a jumping on point, certainly, because it's under the guise of an issue number one. But I don't know that you're going to have the full comfort level of a true reboot, where if you don't know the character already, you're still going to be kind of lost.
I think the point of it being a number one, I think, is enough for them, at least that they think it'll be enough for them to gain new readers who see like a number 23 on a book and go,
I mean, really what this sounds like to me is instead of canceling off books periodically as they continue to not sell well, they're kind of saving it up for this event that they're creating in order to really, as a sales boost, because to me, this sounds like nothing more than these are the books that aren't doing well. We'll get rid of them, which makes sense.
Yep.
Here's some new books that we hope will do well. And then 6 months down the line, a bunch of those books will start to fade. Just like New 52, right? It took, what, 6-9 months before they started canceling the first run of those books?
Sure, not even that long.
I don't think some books didn't get past issue 7, I think, or 8. So, I mean, to me, I think all they're doing is they're saving it all up for one big purge. Again, it's a marketing event.
All the numbering and rebooting aside, the most disturbing thing to come out of this announcement is Dan DiDio's comment.
Yes.
I mean, he's essentially said, what, do you have it there? Is it in the thing? Well, you know, years ago, I had a conversation, or I was part of a conversation with Joe Quesada. Joe Quesada said, continuity should not get in the way of a good story. To which I responded, Joe, you tell serialized stories. The continuity is a must. It is a thing that has to be present in order for the stories to work. Now, Dan DiDio in this announcement says,
in this new era of storytelling, story will trump continuity as we continue to empower creators to tell the best stories in the industry.
Correct. So, Batman, you know, Batman lost a toe in a previous issue, and when this writer decides that Batman has to have all 10 toes, he will have 10 toes.
Right.
That makes no fucking sense.
Right.
That's just stupid.
Yeah, all it does is...
Yeah, I used a ridiculous example. You're right. And I did it to make a point.
It just continues to perpetuate this whole Elseworld type storytelling.
Yeah.
Because that's all it becomes.
I don't understand how they keep trying to solve the fact that there are so many different universes and then start creating them again.
I know.
It's so dumb.
Well, God, there you go, DC. Thanks.
What was wrong with everybody being in one universe, everybody kind of having their own books? Very periodically, there'd be some world-threatening thing that force them all to work together. What the fuck happened to that formula? I don't understand.
Well, you know, thanks for nothing.
The continuity in Marvel used to be Spider-Man would swing through one panel of a book and you'd be like, oh, yeah, there he is.
See Amazing Spider-Man 67.
Yeah, exactly. Or something like
that. In a blurb in the bottom of X-Men 64.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly. Yeah. You know, and all that's gone now. Now it's like the only thing that could possibly happen is the world is ending unless every title comes together in order to save
us. You know, that's actually interesting. Has that as a thing gone away?
No, they've broken it into smaller pieces.
No, the C such and such a book. I don't see that anymore.
No,
like, or not as much.
No, and you should especially in Marvel, because the stories are so convoluted, you don't know which way to turn.
I think it shows up when you're reading like that specific series that is the crossover event, and they say a line and there'll be an asterisk and it says, see Spider-Man issue 74 for more or whatever.
Because that used to be really big.
It used to be heavily referenced.
Yeah, it used to be like one or two an issue. You would get a reference to something else. And it was kind of like, well, if you want to check it out, this is where you would go, but it's not really necessary to continue.
Right.
To
wow. And that's why it makes a continuous universe that makes sense.
Right.
Like, that's the point.
Although I'm using a DC example that I used earlier, I'm really talking about a good thing that Marvel used to do. Wow. I didn't know that Batman lost a toe. Oh, look, there's an asterisk. See Detective Comics 606, where Batman loses a toe. You know, like,
I also don't understand if a lot of people are consuming digitally, that should be a tappable link that lets you get that comic immediately. Like, why would they not continue down that road? It's way easier now. Did they just not want to hire editors that are in charge of overarching storytelling?
Because continuity has gone to the wind. That's why.
Except on TV and film?
Which is weird.
Story will trump continuity.
Yes, in this new era of bad. It's a bad line for him to say, number one. And I think it's right down the line of irresponsibility on the part of DC Comics. DC Comics is serialized storytelling. I'm sorry. I get the whole alternate universe thing. Those books are great. Identifying them as such is fine. But there should be Batman, and the characters in that book should have continuity within that book. That's it. And you can't like bring in a new writer who goes, well, I think Batman should be gay. And then suddenly Batman's, for no reason in his own title, is gay. That's what he's talking about. Well, if the writer thinks Batman should be gay and it's an interesting story, we should tell that story. Write in Batman 66. You know, rather than saying, all right, well, you know what? Here's an alternate universe. Write a 4-issue miniseries. Batman's gay. And it's fine. And then in some point later down the line, when we have to destroy all the universes, the Batman is gay universe will be one of the ones that gets destroyed.
That's right. There you go.
That's it. That's it. I'm describing what's happening.
We touched on racism. We touched on
how is it? It's not.
We touched on homosexuality. Being kids, geek stuff. Everyone.
We touch everybody. All right, let's move forward.
Wow.
We like touching things.
All right. We are on the precipice of Toy Fair.
This coming
weekend. Already we've started to see some things leaked.
Let's touch on that.
I just want to touch very quickly on Funko. By the way. Funko now has the license to everything. Yes. They have licensed everything.
Uh-huh.
I've seen some of the new pop stuff that they come out. What did I see today? I saw all sorts of DC comic book stuff and stuff like that, but there was some really bizarre stuff. Rocky Horror Picture Show I saw, Borderlands I saw, a whole bunch of Hanna-Barbera stuff. More Disney stuff.
Everything.
I'm drawing blanks on it right now, yep. But they. I feel like they've literally just.
I just saw a press release for 16 candles.
Yes,
by 16 Funko. Candles.
Yep. Yep.
So there you go. For the long-awaited merchandise for John Hughes classic 16 candles, your wait is over.
Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Rocky Horror Picture Show, Garbage Pail Kids. I mean, Hanna-Barbera, Disney, literally. I mean, it's insanity.
Yeah. Anything they can make into plastic.
I also saw a leaked image of the Funko Legacy Serenity figures. Got to have all those. So.
Oh, really?
I'm in trouble with that.
Really?
Yeah, they're good. They're like the Game of Thrones ones.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
Yeah, like that good. Series. Yeah, really?
Damn it. I thought I was done with that stuff. Never! Anyway.
Wow.
I think...
okay.
We'll see some more. I mean, we're going to hopefully see some stuff at Toy Fair this weekend, so we'll talk a little bit more
about that. OG and I will be attending.
In some capacity?
Yes. By no means legally.
That's right. We hope to not get escorted out.
Although...
Blow up our spot if you see us.
I haven't heard from the source yet.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a little concerned because it's Wednesday.
Right.
But I'm fairly calm at
all
this
right,
point.
Good.
So we'll definitely
at least we'll be at Hasbro.
I was gonna say at least we'll be at Hasbro. We'll be at Hasbro.
But let's talk about some other stuff going on. I know there's a bunch of Kickstarter stuff you wanted to mention.
Yeah, we got it. We have to talk about the Four Horsemen. Last week. Oh, actually, when I was editing the show last week, last week was my turn.
Right.
Did
Cornboy message you?
Oh, no. Oh. I took notes.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Okay. So things that we screwed up last week. The Adam costume is definitely black and red.
Okay.
Definitely black and red.
Okay.
Because I looked at it hard. There's a blue light in the background, which means you may be picking up blue highlights.
Right.
It's definitely black and red.
Okay.
And really looks a lot like Ant-Man's costume.
Okay.
And combined with Tron. Second, we talked about the FF trailer in episode 359 without Scapegoat.
Okay.
So when we were talking last week and we were like, but we talked about that. And you were like, no, I was there for that. You were not there for that. So we talked about that. We must have talked about that independently, but you were not part of that conversation. And lastly, the Kickstarter.
Yeah. Somehow all of his corrections are told you so's.
Yeah.
No, they're not. This is on me, this one. So the Kickstarter by the Four Horsemen is Mythic Legions.
What did we say? Legends?
I did. Okay. I said Mythic Legends. It is not. It is Mythic Legions.
Oops.
So, yes. Definitely check that out. OG, I know we'll put a link.
They are 48% funded, I think, I read this afternoon. And oh, no, they're 50% funded in just under 48 hours. That's what it was.
Oh, that's what it is? Yeah. Oh, good. So. And then also, Benny,
That's right.
Over at Tenacious Toys.
They are funded. They are into the stretch goal.
Oh, they are now.
Yeah, they're into the stretch goal part of their campaign at this point.
Yeah. I don't want any My Little Ponies in my collection except those four. Except
those, yeah. That's an exception.
So, yeah, so we're very happy about that. But OG will put a link in case you still want to hop on board there. Right. And
24-hour toy break happened.
24-hour toy break happened.
Yep, I hear it was very successful. I unfortunately was unable to watch. I had familial obligations.
Wait, you didn't pop in at all?
I wasn't able to.
Oh, I thought you popped in for a little bit. No.
I bought all of the minifigures that they released through the website in support. But I unfortunately, I wasn't able to pop in.
Yo, son, I represented then.
Yeah, I normally hang out for a while.
Oh, yeah.
This year, I just wasn't able to.
I got some cool stuff.
Good.
Which I'm very happy about.
Nice.
And I got to put this out there because I said we would discuss this.
Yeah.
There's a bit of controversy, which is now known as Cheddargate.
Okay.
Cheddargate. They had a proto Skeleton Warriors figure.
Yeah.
Cast in yellow that they were calling Cheddar Bones.
Okay.
When I saw it, I had to have it. They absolutely refused to auction it to me. And then everybody in the chat was kind of like, sell Kev Cheddar Bones. He wants Cheddar Bones, which became Cheddargate,
right.
Which became, you know, became this thing. And let me tell you something. When George does not get sleep,
yeah,
George is a cranky baby. Cranky baby. And I love George. And I love Aileen. George, you cranky baby. And Cheddarbones. So I just wanted to mention that. It was a thing. People who were there, who were involved, were enjoying it. We were all laughing, having a good time. If you've never checked out Toy Break, you definitely should.
Oh, absolutely.
They're having the best time in the world over there. I'm so jealous of them because we work so hard to make our show sound so effortless and professional. And they're throwing it out there and it's perfect every time.
Every time. They have a blast.
Every
it's
time.
One of my favorite shows. I tune in every week. For a long time, man. I've been watching.
And the 24-hour, I was in there for a bunch of hours, good. Too. And doing work, you know, keeping up and watching Luke Chu, who...
Sketch all night long, right?
All night long. Yeah. And not only that, but he looks like the Lizard King by the next... By the end of it in the next day, he's just like, I'm the Lizard King. I mean, he is just insane all over the place. But... A lot of people were there. Yeah. A lot of stuff was sold. I know I'm pretty sure they reached their goal. I'm sure they reached their goal. Yep. They had a lot of great stuff. They did some Instagram stuff also. They Instagrammed the 12-inch, Hoth Luke and Wampa set.
Yeah, yeah.
It went for like two something.
Yeah.
The Wampa is 400.
Yep.
I mean, it was crazy. Crazy. So if you guys have not tuned in to 24-hour Toy Break, oh, did I tell you what I got?
You didn't. You told me. Oh, but
I got the 3A Iron Man.
Nice.
The good one. The orange and yellow one, like the classic one. I got that at a ridiculous price.
Nice.
Ridiculous. So I'm very happy. Very happy I was able to take part. I'm glad I was able to represent. And I'd like to close out by saying Cheddar Bones.
All right. I just want to mention one more thing. Chris Reiniak,
I know,
longtime friend of the show.
Sure.
He's one of those guys who I always want to own bits and pieces of his work, but it's always so fucking expensive. Love it, Chris.
It's always what?
So fucking expensive. He put out a series of figures with Rotofuji called the Fickle Bits. Fibbly, Plop, and Gubble. I think the whole set was less than $50 for all three of them.
Oh.
And they are still available if you go over to Rotofuji.
Well, they're adorable.
They are adorable. And I would say that you should go get them if you're a Chris Reiniak fan or you're a Creature fan. I love them. I'm actually very happy to have them in my collection.
They're so cool.
So check those out.
And he did these with Rotofuji?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so amazing.
And
how much are they? You didn't say.
It was $48 for the set.
Wow.
For all three. But I forget what the individual price
three
was.
Three great. Oh, there's individual pricing as well.
You could buy them individually as well. But, you know, I was looking at them and I'm like, I'm only going to get this one. Well, maybe I'll get these. Fuck it. Fuck it. So once nice. I got one, I got them all.
No, that's great. And is there one colorway?
It is orange. I don't know if he's going to do different colorways going forward, but the first one, or at least this release, is orange.
So right.
Check out Rotofuji. They are still available. I checked right
before. Rotofuji!
The show, and of course the wrap-up music is telling me to shut the fuck up, so I probably should listen, because I don't know if you know this, Big Kev, Wrap-up music? Cranky Baby. Just saying.
That's what I've heard. I heard the wrap-up music did not get enough sleep.
Well,
that's what I've heard.
That's what happens. So, don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at bkgeekstuff.com. Please continue to support the Amazon link. That's huge for us. We thank you for that. Of course, there is the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you may hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kez Geek Stuff, like our two wonderful callers this evening.
Yes, we should thank those callers.
Although the one guy didn't leave his name, I don't think.
No, he didn't.
Rolled right into it.
And he left
two. And good on him.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And he left two, yeah.
That's true.
And then, of course, Tom Onabox is a longtime caller.
Tom!
Don't forget, you can check us out on Twitter, at ScapegoatGS, at BK Geek Stuff, and at Geek Stuff OG, and Facebook, YouTube, all BK Geek Stuff. We're pretty easy to find, is the point.
We're not hiding. Nope. We're out in the open. We're out.
Well, maybe you are. And with that, Big Kev.
Yes, OG, I believe we should bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 361, Welcome Home, Spidey, to a close, the way we end all episodes, by saying good night, Richard Bonehill, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Intellect, which might explain your disrespect for all.